morning. How did everyone sleep last night? Awesome. All right. I was praying for the pregnant woman. Hey, go and open up your Bibles to the book of the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 9. Luke 9:27. Only a couple verses this morning. Is anyone here hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Hey, as Spurgeon said, we have to teach before you eat because people will be full of beef and unbelief. And so, so I'll keep it short and sweet so we can go eat. Begin in verse 27. It says, Jesus said, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those who were with him were heavily with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw him and his glory and the two men who stood with him. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this camp that we can come together as a church and, Lord, have fun. Lord, we thank you for our families, Lord, that you have provided for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we can spend time with them, Lord, and have a good time. Lord, we most importantly thank you for your word, Lord, that it's relevant for each one of our situations, Lord. It's relevant to our life. It's there, Lord. It gives us all things that we need to grow in godliness and in truth and in righteousness, Lord. And so we pray that you would change us this morning, Lord. And before our day starts, Lord, and having a lot of fun, I pray, Lord, that you would just set our hearts upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus enjoyed taking retreats with his disciples. Some of the locations that Jesus and his disciples often visited were the wilderness. They would often go out to the wilderness, the mountains, the Sea of Galilee, and also the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the purpose of them taking retreats was usually spiritual. Now, that's not to say that they didn't have fun. I'm sure, as Pastor Gene often said, I'm sure Jesus and his disciples had a sense of humor. Peter, you know, and those guys were probably crack-ups, you know, so they probably had a good time, but usually their focus was always spiritual. Jesus would often take them out there to teach them and often to pray. In our passage this morning, Jesus is going to take his disciples to a mountain retreat. And on this mountain retreat, Jesus wants to pray with them, he wants to reveal himself to them, and he wants to teach them. But as we'll see, as soon as his disciples got out there and began praying, they all fell asleep. And there Jesus was revealing himself, but no one could see it because they were all sleeping. Well, as we'll see, they woke up and then they saw Jesus' glory. As we look at this passage, we'll see the same could be true for you and I. You see, God has brought us up here to this mountain retreat, and he wants to do something great in our lives. He wants to reveal Jesus to us. But if we're sleeping, we're going to miss out. Well, in what ways will we miss out? We'll see a couple ways in our passage. Let's begin in verse 27 so we can see. Jesus said, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus promised his disciples that some of them would not die until they saw the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God refers to two things. First, it refers to God's sovereign rule over the universe. But secondly, it refers to that literal thousand-year kingdom which Jesus is going to establish when he comes back after his second coming. Jesus promised some of his disciples that they would not die until they saw that kingdom. Now you're saying, okay, well, how in the world did he say that when the rapture didn't happen, the tribulation didn't happen, and the second coming didn't happen? We'll see in the following verses, Jesus is going to be revealed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to meet with Moses and Elijah, which is the picture of those believers who have died and have been raptured, and also those believers who haven't died, and they'll all be in the kingdom with the Lord. Verse 28, "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up to on a mountain to pray." 8 days after Jesus promised this, he took some of his disciples so they can see the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting that Jesus only chose three disciples to go with him on this private retreat. The three disciples were Peter, James, and John. They were the inner circle, often called. Now, this could rightly be called family camp, because Peter and John were brothers. So this was like, you know, the first Calvary Chapel family camp right there. You know, they took them up there. Now, as I said, notice Jesus just took three to go on this retreat and reveal himself. Why did he only take three? Well, because he chose to only take three. Well, in the same way, why do we only have 90 people up here? Well, it's because God only wanted these 90 people to come up here on this retreat. God has sovereignly called you and I up here is because just like he revealed himself to these small group, he wants to reveal himself to us. So it's a special time that we're up here. It's not just by random chance. What things does Jesus want us to know on this retreat? Well, first, at the end of this verse, we see that Jesus spent time with his disciples in prayer. You know, you can't miss the fact that Jesus put a high priority on prayer. Jesus' first activity as the divine camp director was to spend time with the disciples in prayer. Here we see that Jesus is praying, and as we'll see, he's transfigured before them. And so prayer is effective. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes lives. Now, it's interesting that also that these three disciples would be the ones that would go with Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane. And so this could have been a preparation time, but as we'll see, they missed out on their preparation time because they were all sleeping just as they would be in the garden. And talking about prayer, it's important to note that prayer was a necessity in Jesus' life. He was always praying. You know, we see him ministering all day and going out and praying. And even now in the book of Hebrews 7:25, we're told that Jesus is even praying today. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Prayer should also be a priority in our lives. That's something that God wants to show us on this retreat. The Lord desires to hear His people pray. The Lord desires to see His people seek His face. God wants to do things through us and through prayer. Maybe you don't have a normal prayer time in your life. Well, I would encourage you before breakfast or sometime during this retreat, get along with the Lord and ask the Lord to, maybe for a time or maybe set up a schedule sometime when you can spend time with God and pray. Sometime when you can spend time with God and read the Bible. Often camp is good because, you know, you can get away from everything. And that's when God can really begin to minister to your heart. So, seek the Lord about prayer. Now, verse 29. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. As Jesus was praying, his three disciples were told in this verse, that his appearance changed. Matthew describes this event as a transfiguration. Now, I'm told that the word in Greek, transfiguration, is metamorpho, which is where we get the word metamorphosis from. Jesus was changed not on the inside, but from the outside. Jesus' flesh was taken away, which veiled his glory, and his glory was revealed to his disciples. Listen to how Luke described it. He says that his face was altered, and his clothes shined. They're white and glistening. Matthew 17:2 says his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Mark 9:3 says his clothes became shiny, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launder on earth can whiten them. So, you know, just to illustrate this, it's kind of like looking at some of our legs, you know, white and glistening, as white as the snow, you know, shiny and, yeah, there you go. We need some sun, right? No, but yeah, so, you know, so Jesus is up there and, you know, he was praying. All of a sudden, the veil was taken away, and there he was in his glory, in his power. Not only was Jesus glorified, but look at verses 30 through 31. And behold, two men talk with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Jesus on this mountain also hung out and talked with Moses and Elijah about his decease, which would come at Jerusalem. His decease was referring to his death, his resurrection, and also his ascension into heaven. Now, this must have been the most amazing, you know, family camp ever. You know, here you are, you know, Jesus is up there with his disciples, you know, he's praying with them, none of the other guys are there, he's transfigured before them, he's revealing himself in glory, he's talking to Moses and Elijah, which every Jew in the whole world would be like, man, you know, that would be better, you know, than anything, just to see Moses and Elijah, the people that we've been reading about our whole life. Now look at the disciples' response to this great retreat. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory, and the two men who stood with him. All these great and powerful things, yet his disciples were sleeping. They were passed out, you know. Now, I don't want to be too hard on these guys. I'm not rebuking them. I have sympathy for these guys. They have busy lives. They walked everywhere they lived. You know, they walked everywhere, long distances. They lived communally with other people. And so, hey, they got alone. It was just them three. They're like, man, we don't have to listen to Thomas, you know, and Matthew and all these guys just yap about, you know, their tax collecting business. We're done with that. And we don't have to listen to them. They walked everywhere. They ministered at every moment. Oftentimes they would go out and rest and Jesus would say, hey guys, let's feed these 5,000 people. Those of you that have been on a mission trip know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, that's how they probably felt, but even more intense. You know, they were like, a time to sleep. Cool, we got a wood floor. Hey, we'll sleep. You know, we'll do it. But that aside, these guys missed out. You can't get around that. They missed out because they fell asleep. Now, it says that when they woke up, then they saw Jesus in his glory. Then they saw Moses and Elijah. And I'm sure when they woke up, they woke up. You know, they're like, whoa, that's something to wake up to. Now we can draw some applications from this passage, which can apply to us about our Christian life. We see in this verse, it's important for us as believers to wake up and not sleep in our Christian life, because if we sleep, we'll miss out on seeing Jesus glorified. Now, what does it mean to sleep? Well, there's a reference to the Bible of sleeping as a reference to Christian death. And so I'm not talking about that. You know, hopefully no one's dead here this morning. You know, if your neighbor's dead, shake him, you know, and then well, that's not good. So yeah, I'm not talking about dying, which is a reference to sleep in the Bible. From our context, we can refer to sleep as being present with Jesus, but yet being off in la-la land. You know, just like, that's what sleeping is, right? You're there, but your mind's just like dreaming about, you know, whatever, you know? And that's what these guys were doing. They were there with Jesus, but they were just off in la-la land. Or in other words, we can hang out with Jesus, but we can just be going through the motions. Now, just as I didn't want to be hard on the disciples, I don't want to be hard on us either. Because it's easy for us, you know, to get off into the la-la land. We live in a crazy world, and there's a lot of pressures, you know? We have work, we have school, you know, we have wickedness and sin around us. So we always have to, you know, be on guard. You know, we right now we have to watch our kids, make sure that Levi's not rolling down the hill, you know, and into the lake or whatever. And so, you know, so it's easy for our minds to be distracted, but we must, you know, always check ourselves to make sure that our minds are focused on the Lord. You know, because the Lord wants our full attention, because He wants to do something great here at this camp and also every time we meet with Him. Now, Jesus told us a way to keep our mind and our focus on Him. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. When you start worrying, when you start doubting, hey, just, you know what? Put that stuff aside. Say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to focus on You right now. Yeah, I know, you know, I'm sitting down to pray, the phone's going off, my kids are screaming, you know, or whatever, you know, but hey, when I get alone with You, I'm going to just focus on You right now. Matthew 13:22 tells us what it's like for the pressures of the world to overtake our mind. Jesus said it's like a seed that fell on thorny ground. And when this seed falls on thorny ground, Jesus says that when it grows up, the thorns choke it out so it does not bear fruit. And that's what happens to us when we go through the motions, when we're sleeping in our Christian life. We're there, but the problems and the cares of this world are just so, you know, entrenched in us that it just chokes out everything that God wants to do in our heart. We just miss it. We miss out. And so we need to deny ourselves, you know, and just focus on the Lord. Another way that we could be sleeping is given to us in Ephesians 5:11-14. I'll just read it to you. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and are manifested by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. The unfruitful works of darkness is referring to sin. And Paul lists a lot of sins in Ephesians 5. You can go back and read it if you want. But another thing that, you know, another way that believers can sleep is to be involved in sin. You know, and sin lures people away. A good example of that is Samson. Look at Samson, you know, with Delilah. There, you know, she was like, where's your strength on me? He said, hey, you know, if you knit my hair or if you braid my hair, my strength will depart from me. And there it says, you know, that she knitted or she braided his hair, and eventually he just fell asleep in her arms. And that's what sin does to us. It lures us away. It draws us off. And eventually, before we know it, we're like Samson. We wake up, we're going to say, hey, I'm going to shake this off. I'm going to show my power. And before we know it, we're in bondage of sin. We're in bond of addiction. You know, we're in bondage of temptation. And so, sin is like sleeping. And if we sleep in our Christian life, if we're involved in sin, it's going to hinder us from seeing the Lord. You know, it's often said, this book right here will keep you from sin, but sin will also keep you from this book. The more you live in sin, the less you'll want to read the Bible. The more you're in sin, the less you'll want to serve God. The more you dabble in sin, the less you'll want to, you know, draw near to the Lord. Paul gives us a way to wake up out of our sleep so we can see the Lord's glory. It says, arise, wake up. Just wake up, you know, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you the power and also the sufficiency that you need to overcome that sin. One last passage I want to show you before we go to breakfast. It's also in 1 Thessalonians 5:2-9. I'll just read it to you. Paul says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope, the helmet of the hope of our salvation. Excuse me. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul in this verse refers to the day of the Lord, which is referring to the great tribulation, which is going to come on this earth. Paul says it's going to come on those who are in darkness, who are living in the night. They're the ones who are going to go through the tribulation. But those who are of the day, those who are light, are not going to go through it. He says that we will not be put through God's wrath. So his conclusion in verses 6 to 8 is, if we're not of the night, if we're of the day, and then why are people sleeping? Why are people living like those people who are living at night? You know, if people are living at night, hey, they're getting drunk, they're doing all these things. But hey, if we're of the day, man, we're not supposed to be on NyQuil, we're supposed to be on DayQuil. You know, we're supposed to be up and doing stuff, working, you know. And so, hey, don't let sin lure you away. Don't let complacency lure you away to being like those people at night who says, hey, let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die. This is all we have. No, that's not so. We are of the day. We have a purpose and a hope. Jesus Christ is coming back for us. And when there's an urgency to get the message out, you know, we need to go to work. We need to wake up and do what God has called us to do. Because if we wait, like in the days of Noah, it'll be too late. You know, and the Lord will take us and they'll be left here for the tribulation. In closing, if you're sleeping this morning, well, hey, wake up. You know, as we say at the youth retreat, have your brother or sister give you a holy slap. You know, just wake up, you know, drink some coffee. You know, wake up, focus your mind on the Lord because He wants to do something great at this camp. You know, repent of your sin. If you confess your sin, God's faithful to forgive you. You know, God will cleanse you and He'll give you victory over it. And thirdly, hey, get up, wake up, be about the Lord's work and business because Jesus is coming back. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to come up here to this retreat. Lord, and I pray that we will learn from the disciples' mistake of falling asleep, Lord, of not being awake, Lord, on that mountain retreat. Lord, I pray that we wake up, Lord, that we'd be ready, Lord, to hear what You have to say to us, to be about Your work. Bless the rest of our day, Lord. Bless our breakfast. Bless our time with our families. May just be anointed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's eat.